Welcome to the Jump Schedule Release Special. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined in studio by two NBA champions, co-host of the All the Smoke podcast, Matt Barnes, 2008 Finals MVP, Mr. Paul Pierce. Welcome, gentlemen. Coming up, we're going to let you know the biggest games from the biggest stars and the old faces making their debuts in new places. But first, let's recap how we got here. We're only 18 days away from the start of this unprecedented season. In just the last 17 days, we've had a draft, an entire free agency period, and started training camp. Just this week, two former franchise point guards were traded for each other in Russ and John Wall, while their teams were already in camp. This is all part of a sprint during this pandemic to have a workable, if shortened, NBA season. Now, this schedule release show will include just games from now until the All-Star break in early March. Have you ever seen a major American sports league only put half a schedule out before? Yeah, me neither. But the league wants to maintain flexibility in case of COVID-related delays and postponements. The goal is a 72-game season that ends May 17th, then a play-in tournament, and a playoffs that can end in July. Now, in order to cut down travel, there are significantly more back-to-backs between teams, home and homes, or just home and home and home and homes. Here's an example. In January alone, the Sixers will play consecutive games against the same opponent at the same location four times. So hosting the Hornets, then the Heat, the Celtics, then going over to Detroit to play two games in 3 days there. So yeah, we are 18 days away, an unprecedented season in an unprecedented time. And before we get to more of the marquee games, Matt, as a player, how do you change how you prepare for a season that is going to look like this?
I think it's just different for each player. Obviously, Bron has had about 2 months off, so I think he'll slowly but surely start revving his engine, even starting in training camp. I don't see him participating fully in training camp. In the first, obviously, he'll probably play their Christmas game, but kind of pace himself, understanding it's a marathon. But some guys, like Trae Young, said he hasn't played in 9 months.
Right.
You know, some of these younger guys are excited to get back out there. At the end of the day, I think they understand how special this is. If 2020 has taught us anything, it's not to take anything for granted. So no matter what the circumstances are, back-to-back games. I remember the lockout season, Paul, we first came back. We played, what, 3 games in 4 nights?
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. So these guys are excited to get back out and play, but I expect the superstars to ease their way into the season.
What about you, Paul?
These athletes, NBA players, are the most adaptable athletes in the world. I mean, since I've come into the league, like Matt said, we've had three lockouts.
Right.
You know, we had 50-game seasons. We've
right.
started on Christmas. We've had a bubble. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just coming off a season that said this was unprecedented. Now we're coming to another season.
Right.
The league, the players, they're ready for anything.
Right.
It's about just being ready mentally. We already know they're going to be in physical shape. I mean, they're going to do something they haven't done before. They're going to play in their arenas without fans.
Yeah.
They're going to play back-to-back against the same teams in the same arena. So there's nothing these NBA players can't do. I mean, I don't put nothing past them. They'll make the adjustment.
Because at the end of the day, they're just still playing basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, considering
yeah.
what's going on in the world, these guys are getting to play basketball, so they'll be ready.
Well, I know you guys are all creature of habit, though. You have your game day routines.
Yeah.
But those have been disrupted already
yeah,
for any
right.
team that participated in the bubble. So mm-hmm. people are kind of used to throwing it all up in the air, just like the rest of us are with all of our lives, right?
Right?
We all had our routines, and those went out the window. All right, as was released earlier this week, here is the opening week national TV slate. Now, on opening night, we have December 22nd on TNT, KD finally making his official Ooh. Nets debut and gets to face his former team, the Warriors. Would have been a little more juicy with Clay there, but boy, that's still a really good matchup. Followed by Ring Night in LA as the Clippers face the champion Lakers.
Hey, Ring Night, of course they bring the Clippers.
Of course they do.
I'm not sure if I come out of the locker room when I get
We're going to collect that and we're going to make you watch. On December 23rd, Giannis and the Bucks facing the Celtics on TNT. Then CP3 making his debut for the Suns against Luka and the Mavs on ESPN. I can't wait for that one. On Christmas Day, starting at noon on ESPN, Pelicans Heat. Then on ABC at 2:30, we'll have Warriors Bucks, Nets Celtics in Kyrie's return to Boston, Mavericks Lakers at 8, Luka LeBron. And finally at 10:30, Clippers Nuggets in a Western Conference Semis rematch. Now, Paul, I know you are a huge believer in Luka's star potential. Is he ready to be opposite LeBron for the Christmas primetime game?
I mean, I would have put KD in that spot. You know, I mean, he's a young up-and-coming star, and he's must-see TV. I mean, but he's not there yet, not opposite of LeBron. You know, you got to say either Giannis or KD, someone of that stature. But, you know, the kid is must-watch TV, and he puts up hell of a stats. And he did get a triple-double the last time he played against Bron.
Those games have been good.
I mean, so I don't mind it at all, telling you the truth.
I love it. I mean, it's there. Luka's next in line. I think he's in line still. I say within the next 3 to 4 years, it'll be Luka's league. And I'm saying within that 3 to 4 years, he still might take an MVP. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, there's still some guys ahead of him, like Paul said. But he's definitely must watch TV. What he did in the bubble, what he did, like what he's done since he's touched this game has been so special. So I'm excited to see him go against Bron on the big game on Christmas Day.
And that leap he made from year one to year two was so unusual,
yes.
Right? And then what he's going to do from there, we can only wait and watch. Now, one of the other marquee days in the first half of the schedule is, of course, Martin Luther King Day, featuring 5 nationally televised games. The first 2 are going to be on NBA TV and the last 3 on TNT, concluding with Bucks Nets and Warriors Lakers. Now, ABC is going to have 7 games starting January 30th through the All-Star break, including 5 Saturday primetime games. This is a good schedule. Lakers Celtics, Warriors Mavs, KD back in Golden State, Heat Lakers finals rematch, Clippers Bucks, and I mean, there's so many good matchups here. Paul, what do you want to see most from these marquee showcase matchups?
I want to see KD versus Giannis because, look, in many people's eyes, we know LeBron just showed everybody he's still the best in the league. Giannis is a 2-time MVP, but still might not even be the best in the Eastern Conference.
Talk to him.
With KD coming back. So I'm intrigued to see, like, that matchup right there, and then KD being off so long, like, look, saying I'm back, y'all. I know he's been the MVP the last 2 times, but I'm still in the league, and my name is Kevin Durant.
Right. I think people quickly forget, because he hasn't played in so long, who he was and what he was about. He was running with my homeboy Rico Hines runs at El Camino College this past offseason, and everybody was impressed. So I think he's going to be the common theme throughout the first 2 months or maybe in the whole season, just because he's bouncing back off an Achilles. But everyone that I've talked to and has seen him play says he looks like KD. So I'm excited for it. They're my excited. If they stay healthy and can gel, they're coming out of the East for me.
I mean, by the way, also
it's
playing with Kyrie Irving.
Early too, right?
Right?
That's,
I mean,
they can gel.
Don't forget, there's games you turn on the TV
nice
and Kyrie.
That's Matrodamus.
Right?
Hey, they got a nice
we need a graphic for that.
Matrodamus.
Yes.
Predictions.
Calling it early.
Yes.
He's got the
Very
whole
early.
Thing going. No, I mean, you could be, you know, turn on your TV for Kevin Durant and get the Kyrie Irving show, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there are nights where nobody handles the ball like that.
That's what makes them scary. And you got to think the rest of their core, too. They still got a good, solid, young core, too, re-signing Joe Harris, having Caris LeVert and DeAndre Jordan.
And Dinwiddie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and then, you know, Steve Nash, the Steve Nash experiment. And those guys respect him, and I'm interested to see what kind of mind he brings to that kind of team. So the Nets, if they can stay healthy and get that chemistry, they're going to be scary this year.
Now, Paul, I don't know when you guys first got to the Nets. Maybe it was the last time everyone put the Nets all over the national TV schedule, Christmas Day, ABC games, maybe after you were there for a little less so. But now the Nets are back, ladies and gentlemen.
They're definitely back.
And we'll see what happens. All right, coming up in the show, after a transaction frenzy the last 2 weeks, where will Russell Westbrook, John Wall, Gordon Hayward, and others start their new journeys? We will discuss. Welcome back to the Jump Schedule Release Special. Besides CP3's debut, so many more old faces will debut on December 23rd in new places. Besides the aforementioned CP3 versus Luka duel on ESPN, Russell Westbrook will make his Wizards debut in Philly. John Wall will face the Thunder. The Hornets' Gordon Hayward will start against Cleveland, and all the new Hawks that Vince Carter said would be going there will start in Chicago. We had a little Vince Carter breaking news section of our free agency special, and he was dead on. Matt, which of these debuts are you most interested to see?
We got KD out of the way. That's who I'm most excited to see. But I'm excited to see how John and Russ do in their new situations. To me, that trade didn't make a lot of sense to me because they're so similar in game. Obviously, Russ is more decorated with accolades, a little bit older, but they're very similar. But I'm really excited to see what CP3 does for Devin Booker and Aiden out there, because Chris, no, you can say what you want, but he makes every team he plays on better. He's going to be probably the best thing that's happened for Devin Booker, allowing him to play off the ball and take a lot of attention off him and a lot of pressure off him. So I'm really looking forward to what CP3 does with those young Phoenix Suns.
Well, for me, it's going to be John Wall. And it's going to be like this. And it's been like this. It's always going to be that player that you always pair with James Harden because of his style of play. You know, so it was like I was interested to see CP3 when he first got there. I was interested to see Russ, and now it's John, because the way Harden's style of play is so interesting. The way it contrasts with these other guys, it just sometimes it just we don't think it matches. Yeah. Like John Wall's a pure about as pure point guard that you have in the league, and he needs the ball.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we all know Harden's usage rate on the ball. This has made him an MVP and the player he is today. So it'll be interesting to see that dynamic because I think one of them has to change. I mean, I don't see Wall running the lane, running to the corner,
spot
shooting
up.
Three, spotting up. And so it'll be interesting to see if Harden takes that role and becomes that player at this stage in his career, which I don't know if
it's also do. There's so much behind the scenes going on there with the Rockets. Is Harden going to want to stay? Is James going to want to change his style for a situation he might not stay with? I mean,
it just depends. I think James Harden has a choice whether he wants to just be one of the all-time great scorers, offensive threats in the game, or actually try to win a championship. And it's up to him because he can if he wants to. I think the next step is kind of coming off the ball more and then knowing that anytime you want, you can get your shot, but let the team play and flow and let everyone else get going so it's not always three guys looking at you. And whenever James decides to take that next step, if Paul said it, if he wants to, then that's where they're going to be in contention. But I like what they've done. If you can get a healthy John Wall and a healthy DeMarcus Cousins, people are forgetting about Boogie. If you can get a healthy Boogie Cousins, you got P.J. Tucker there still. They got the young kid, forgive me, I forgot his name, they just picked up from Detroit.
Yep, I'm with you too. Sorry, the center.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I think they're putting some...
I've been talking about him all day. Christian Wood.
Wood. Sorry about that. But yeah, he flew under the radar and played really well at the end of the season. But it's up to James. Is he going to go? Is he going to force a trade? Because the last thing you want is an unhappy superstar the whole season.
Well, also, Paul, you mentioned John Wall, and you know John so well from playing with him. I'm from the D.C. area, and I covered him. People kind of forgotten about John Wall. I'm sorry. Yeah. The talent level of that dude. Now,
incredible.
I don't know what he is going to be like. The history of guards with Achilles injuries, it's not great when they come back. What do you expect from John?
Well, I think he's going to be a smarter player. I mean, you got to understand, he's came in as one of the most athletic point guards that we've probably ever seen. And he depends on that. Mm-hmm. And now he's probably going to lose some of that athleticism as he gets up there in age and this injury. So I'm going to see probably a more efficient John Wall, you know, a guy who's probably worked on his shot, knocking down shots a little more, a higher IQ. Not that he wasn't before, but he was a high IQ player. So I think injuries tend to, like, help you learn the game a lot more because you sit back and you watch and see how you can get better.
You think he's got to study the game, like Paul said. He's got to be a student in the game because he hasn't played since December 20. 26th of 18. You know what I mean?
Crazy.
So it's coming up on 2 full years of him actually not playing basketball. We had him on the show earlier on All the Smoke. He said he's feeling great. He's explosive. He's, you know, and like I said, I think the next step in his game is the mental step. And not that he wasn't a smart player before, but with age and time off, being able to see how you can affect the game, I think he'll come back and be very effective if the Achilles is completely healed.
Well, physically, he probably could have come back for the bubble and the team, just everybody elected, like, let's be smart here, right? But that maybe extra padding of time is maybe a good thing when you're looking about the chance of re-injury. We'll just have to see. Yep. I want to ask you guys about the Toronto Raptors because they are going to spend at least the next 3 months away from Canada, play their home games in Tampa, Florida at the Tampa Bay Lightning's Arena. This is, of course, due to the travel restrictions between Canada and the U.S. right now. Whether they will return to Toronto after the All-Star break in March, who knows? No one knows about anything going on in March. Here are a few notable games that the Raptors will play in Tampa, starting with the Pelicans on December 23rd, the Celtics on January 4th, and a two-game home set against both the now fellow Floridians, I guess, the Heat, and then the 76ers. So, Paul, how do you see this forced relocation affecting Toronto, the players? I mean, they might move back in the middle of the season.
I mean, out of all the teams in the league, they're most affected. I mean, you're not asking no other team in the league to play outside of their home arena. I mean, not that we're not going to have fans, but you got to understand the comforts of being at home, going into the house that you bought or the apartment or wherever you live, coming home to your family, going to your practice facility. You know, players are by nature, you know, they like routine. They go to their favorite restaurants after games or before games. And now you're going to a totally foreign environment, to a city who probably none of them have been to. Tampa's a great city, but I'm sure people don't just wake up and say, I want to go to Tampa. you know, so.
Nice in the winter, Paul. Like,
you know, it's a great place. I've been there. But, you know, you go to Miami, you go to Florida for the most part.
Right.
And so they're going to be a team at a disadvantage out of all the teams to start the season.
But I think to piggyback off that, if anything, any team can handle it, it's them. You know, they have great veteran leadership in Kyle Lowry. Nick Nurse is a great coach. They've been through the wars. They've won championships. They've done it without Kawhi. So I think this team is ready, can handle it. Obviously, it's going to be a disadvantage of not being at home. But, you know, they landed in Tampa. So it's going to be, at least it's a nice city. The weather's nice. And we're just in unfortunate circumstances right now. So like I said, I think it's going to be tough. But I think this team can definitely handle it. And I don't see it affecting.
But think about this. You just come from the bubble. And then it's like, damn, you don't even get to go home.
Nope.
So just psychologically, you're like.
It wears on you.
It wears on you. So that can cause an effect on a player.
Yeah.
You know, so. My hat's off. You know, if they got through the bubble, they can get through this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, I don't know what the rules on fans are going to be, particularly in Florida, because they have some different ideas down there about how many people should gather inside a building. But there are a lot of snowbirds, the Canadians who go retire in that part of Florida. So there is some natural support for them there. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to make it sound. We definitely wish the Raptors luck and success because this is a real challenge for them. Coming up, as the season awaits, but the pandemic, of course, continues, how will teams adjust with little or no fans in the stands? What are the rules going to be? Brian Windhorst joins us next on The Jump to break it all down. Stick with us. Welcome back to the NBA's schedule release special right here on The Jump. Here are some notable return games for stars who changed teams this offseason. Kyrie scheduled to play his first game back in Boston on Christmas Day. Now, he didn't change teams this year, but last year never played in Boston, so this will be his return. Westbrook's first game back in Houston, January 29th. Kevin Durant making his return to Golden State, February 13th on ABC. We now welcome in New York Times bestselling author, NBA senior insider, coming to us live from the Cobra Dome. It's Brian Windhorst. Some of these return games, Bri, going to feel much differently this season than in years past because there won't be fans in the stands in a lot of places to either shout or clap or do anything to these guys. How is the league and all 30 teams going to make this season appealing to fans watching on TV when a lot of these buildings are empty and not always we're getting all the players that we thought we might play if COVID or something else strikes?
Yeah, well, we're not going to know how Kyrie feels about it because he just announced a media blackout for the season. He's not going to talk. So we'll just make assumptions for him. The issue is
the issue to statement
that, you know,
saying
with
that,
no
correct?
Fans. Yeah. Yes, he did. It was quite a statement. The issue with it is that there's really not going to be anything like home road, especially early in the season. But I think it's important to realize that there are two halves of this schedule, and there are going to be games in the first half where the home road balance is going to feel different because you're not going to have the animosity going into an opposing arena, especially if you're a player who's coming back and potentially could get booed. But there's going to be that second half of the schedule, hopefully, knock on wood, after the vaccine becomes much more available in the country, and we may be able to see a very different NBA. As we see what we see at the start in December could be so different than what we see in April and May.
But it's going to be hard, guys, right? Because I love these virtual boards. I got really used to them. It felt good. Got to see Paul up there. But you can't do that in arenas where you do have some fans in the building, right? You can't block the view of the court. So for TV, it's going to look a little different, and the players are going to feel it differently. Paul, do you think that players who were in the bubble, at least those teams, that they have adjusted to playing in a quieter gym?
I don't think so. I don't think you can ever adjust when you've been playing like that your whole life. I mean, think about a guy like LeBron James. He won a championship in a bubble year, but he's been playing in front of fans since probably 3 years old. He's been playing in front of sold out arenas. And so it's hard to really get adjusted to that. I mean, I really feed off the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good for some teams. You know, some teams like Atlanta, they don't really have a large crowd. They don't really mind it. You know, but just that crowd, what the lift it gives you. Because are you telling me the Clippers, they're up 3-1 in the series, if they're in front of their home crowd, do they give that lead up?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So that's a tough adjustment to make for the players.
Well, we did.
y'all had that crowd behind y'all.
Man. That was amazing.
Right, we came back. We gave up a 3-1. It's tough. Obviously, we've been born to play in front of crowds. That's what we've been doing our whole careers. Yeah. But we understand what the circumstances are. I think that the bubble gave people a great taste of what it's going to be like. Obviously, going to a larger arena is going to be different, but I really feel like the NBA has done a great job, and they're going to have some tricks up their sleeve to hopefully shrink the room or shrink the arena somewhat and still make it exciting. But what I like is, obviously, with the shortened seasons, there's just so much more attention to detail, and games mean more, and then we have the play-in stuff now. So I think they're going to do everything they possibly can with crazy schedules and situations just to continue to keep the hype around the league, to keep the fans tuned in.
We obviously have more back-to-backs this time because they are trying to play on a condensed schedule. So, Brian, what is the league telling teams about resting players while also realizing that 99% of the fans are going to be watching these games on TV, and when the stars don't show up, that's not good for business?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a whole, you know, change in the way teams use players, because frankly, they're going to have to protect them early on, especially in the first 2 months of the season. Now, the one thing that is difficult to comprehend and that the league understandably isn't making public is that they have at least been 100 players to test positive for COVID, both back in June and then this last week. And there's probably been dozens more, if not triple digits more, who've dealt with this illness away. So there's going to be a bunch of people who have antibodies. But the team's number one priority is going to protect the players for the long haul and to protect outbreaks, so that if a player does get sick, they're going to have to isolate that player, and they're going to be very careful in how fast they want to bring them back, because one of the things that we're seeing here is that for some people, this lingers. So there's going to be bigger rosters. The active rosters per game are going to be bigger, and that is probably going to mean that individual games will probably mean less, especially for teams like the Lakers, who are coming off a short offseason.
Yeah, but you look at the key dates, right, for the 2020-2021 season, Brian, and you talk about the COVID impact. They've got teams playing 4 games a week. This isn't like the NFL where there's a 6-day break, guys, between games, and you can kind of see how much it's run rampant through your franchise. And by the way, you've been breathing and sweating directly with no football helmets, no baseball field to spread out over on the other teams. If you get a positive test, I am very intrigued, and there will be, by the way, there will be positive tests.
There will.
How they are going to manage the ripple effect when they're already trying to cram the season together. I don't know what you guys as players would want them to do or feel comfortable with.
This is going to be a major, this season more than any, is going to, the COVID and injuries are going to have more effect on playoff seeding or teams making or not making the playoffs than ever before. And I can see that coming. You're going to have guys miss 3 or 4 games because of COVID, and then you could be one game behind a playoff spot for in a position where a guy that you really need in your rotation is not going to be there. And so this is going to have effect all the way down the line, though. And so it's fair game. I mean, it's fair game across the league. So everybody's going to have to deal with it. It's not like it's subject to just one team or two teams. It's all across the league.
Well, this is what makes the play-in tournament so special now.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, you're probably going to lose key guys throughout the season, and hopefully you can have everyone healthy towards the end of the season. But this is going to give that 7-10 spot that's going to be up for grabs, because I'm sure there might be a team that we would have thought would have been at least in the top 3, maybe top 5, that maybe slipped down to 8 or 9 because of bad luck with COVID testing. So this is going to bring that much more excitement to the play-in tournament, I think.
Yeah, one of the challenges with this schedule, when the league, they're definitely, when you look at the entire thing, as I have, there is definitely what they call baseball scheduling, where the teams are going to stay in a city and play a couple of games. But when the league made the decision to play home and home against the other conference, East-West, it meant that there's going to be 4- and 6-game road trips. It's just going to happen. The Golden State Warriors are opening the season with a 4-game road trip. And if you're going to relocate 4, 5, 6 times, you are going to run the risk, a higher risk of getting players infected. We are looking at college basketball and seeing all kinds of postponements and cancellations. We are seeing college basketball teams in some cases fly on 2 different planes to try to limit the possibility of outbreak. We are seeing teams reschedule games like, hey, you and I are free on Friday, let's play. And I think there's a possibility, especially early in the season, we could see that. If two, you know, the most important thing is getting the volume of games in. We may not see that 15-15 15 home and road on the East-West conferences. But, you know, the NBA is acknowledging that this is going to be something they're going to have to try to manage. They've done with complicated stuff before with COVID. Let's see how it goes.
And this is going to be hard if there is, say, a Miami Marlins or Baltimore Ravens kind of situation where it rips through a team. And obviously you've seen those other leagues really bear down on their teams in terms of mask wearing and meetings and the things that stop those dominoes from falling. But from having been in the bubble, one of the complications I can foresee here is that within the bubble, where everyone was getting tested every day, everyone was living, no one was allowed out, there were certainly a lot of mask rules, but there were a bunch of situations for the players and teams themselves where they weren't wearing masks because they were the inside of the inside of the inner bubble and they were just protected by the circumstance. Mm-hmm. So you have those guys who are used to seeing those particular other players, their teammates, in these kinds of exact same meetings, who suddenly will be expected to wear a mask where they just finished for 2 or 3 months not having to wear one. And I wonder how much of that is going to sort of catch up to them, or how long it's going to take for guys to think about it differently, because it is different outside of a bubble. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Coming up on this show, guys, we're going to play a little schedule release edition of Jump Ball. We'll take a look at some of the biggest Eastern Conference matchups of the season. Stick around. Welcome back to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols, taking you through the first half of the NBA schedules with Mr. Matt Barnes, Mr. Paul Pierce, and it's time to play one of our favorite games, Jump Ball. Let's start, gentlemen, in the Eastern Conference, where the Miami Heat are looking to reach the finals for a second consecutive season. Two of their biggest threats in the East, though, the Bucks and the Celtics. Boston plays Miami January 6th on ESPN. Philly on ESPN on January 20th, and a pretty significant date in general. We'll take a look at some other matchups between these teams, but Paul, who is the bigger threat to the Heat, Bucks or Celtics?
I think Celtics showed that. I mean, I looked at the Milwaukee Bucks, even though they had the great record, MVP, they got exposed. I mean, simple as that.
But they're a different team this year.
Yeah, they're a different team, but they've been doing this every year. We've seen this. We've seen this show the last 2 years. It's on repeat. And so I think the Celtics have a better upside, and I think they're going to learn. They're going to get better from their playoff experiences, and they're going to be the bigger threat this year.
Between these two teams, I'm picking the Celtics for every reason that Paul just said, but I think the overall bigger threat is the Nets.
Right.
Like I said, I'm really excited about seeing what KD and Kyrie can do with that already, you know, explosive core that they have. So if those two can stay healthy and be on the same page with their teammates, to me, like I said, they're my team in the East.
But the Bucks are that much of a prove-it team for both of you guys that you wouldn't pick them between, if you were just doing Bucks Celtics, you wouldn't pick the Bucks?
I wouldn't pick the Bucks.
I mean, with based on MVP? What I've seen the last 2 years, Rach, I can't. I'm not a buyer they're selling.
I love to be wrong, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be wrong, but, like, to me, it's the Celtics.
Here's what I got on Giannis. He's been proving people wrong his whole life. I think this challenge ahead of him, he'll be ready for. We'll see what they do.
In the playoffs, though.
Yeah, it's certainly true. You mentioned the Nets, of course. They visit the Rockets on March 3rd. We don't know which of those two teams James Harden will be playing for. I assume one of them. Rockets head coach Stephen Silas said yesterday he's giving Harden space right now. Of course, sources previously told ESPN that Harden wants to be traded to Brooklyn while the Rockets plan to enter the season with him on the roster. So, Paul, what team do you think James Harden will be playing for in that March 3rd game, Rockets or Nets?
I think he's going to play with the Houston Rockets. If he ends up on the Nets, they're my favorite to win it all.
Yeah.
For the next handful of years.
If he ends up on the Nets, man, and it's going to be hard for me to see that trade going down and Houston allowing that.
What do you think?
I think he'll be in Houston as well. I think if they can get him to buy into what they're trying to do now, obviously they're moving pieces around, picking up people. He was unhappy with management, you know what I mean? So can management prove themselves to him? They, like I said, they've made some solid moves thus far. He wants out, but like I said earlier in the show, if he doesn't buy in, if he stands his ground, the last thing you want is an unhappy superstar.
Right. Well, I will say about Brooklyn, you have a very smart front office led by Sean Marks. They're in a closed bidding situation with the Rockets, right? Especially if James has said, that's where I want to go, that's where I want to go. They know that if they start the season well, and you guys have been up here extolling the virtues of Kevin Durant and Kyrie, and if both of those guys stay healthy, they might not need to pay the price that Houston is asking for James Harden. James Harden now, by the way, will need to go for that price for the Rockets. So they're going to need to keep their price up. But Brooklyn just might not be in a position where they need to pay it. And that's why that trade might not happen.
They're going
to
wipe. I mean, if you think they're going to take all their young core out,
right.
Dinwiddie, LeVert, Allen, you know, you name it, because anytime you give away a superstar like that, you have to get at least another star, but they don't have, you know what I mean? They have solid young players, so it's going to completely wipe that team out from that standpoint, and it's really going to be a big three, and then what can you put around them?
All right, well, you guys both played for the Clippers. Your old team has a number of built-in rivalries this season. Things got spicy, gentlemen, between Dame Lillard and the Clippers this past summer in the bubble. Remember when T-Mac used to be like, I didn't play for the Knicks? I don't remember that. It just completely went, former Clippers head coach, Doc Rivers. You remember him, though, Paul, right? Remember him?
I remember Doc.
All right. He now finds himself with the Sixers after changing teams this offseason. The Blazers face the Clips on December 30th, while the Clips won't face the Sixers until the second half of the schedule. So, Matt, what's the spicier matchup for the Clippers? Portland, considering what happened in the bubble, or Philly with Doc?
I think it's always fun to go back and play another coach and beat them, but I think the more spicier matchup is the one that's going to be on the court.
Right.
With all the talking that Patrick Beverley was doing and all the tweeting they were doing, and Dame is not someone to really be played with. So, you know, Patrick's going to have to shut his mouth and show up and play because, you know, Dame is going to be out there and be ready to play.
Absolutely, it's going to be on the court. You don't understand this. Yeah, they're going to see Doc twice this year. This has the potential to be spicier than ever. I'm talking about extra spice. I'm talking about Louisiana, and I'm talking about hot pepper spice, because these two teams have the potential to see each other 10 times, three times in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, three times in the regular season, and seven times in the playoffs. So this is, throw some extra spice on this gumbo.
Right, and it's not just the Patrick Beverley stuff. We, of course, know with Dame Lillard and Paul George the year before, right? And there's going to be
Some of that up.
A lot there. And speaking of Paul George, during his media availability today, Paul said, quote, I want to retire a Clipper. Now, of course, George has played for three different teams over the previous four seasons. But Matt, you interviewed PG recently on All the Smoke. Did you get the sense that he really does want to stick with the Clippers organization long term?
He does. I just think he has to kind of, he's in his head a lot right now. And that's what I kind of took away from our interview. And LA is not the place to do that. They'll eat you alive. So he has to, you know, show and prove.
What do you mean by that? Not the LA part, the first part.
I just think he's overthinking every situation.
Okay.
I mean, we know what he can do. We've seen Paul at his best, and he's one of the best players in the game when he's playing his best on both sides of the ball. But like I said, I think he's in his head too much right now, so he's got to get out of his head, because LA is a monster. They'll eat you up. You give excuses, they're going to eat you up. The only way for him to happily retire with the Clippers is to go out there and play every single night like we know he's capable of playing. And I'm excited to see his bounce back season, because he knows he didn't do what he needed to do along with Kawhi in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Kawhi has nothing to prove no more. He don't have to win.
Either.
But, like, as far as, like you said, man, retiring as a Clipper, his pressure being a player in L.A., he just has to go out there and be himself, like you said. And the one thing that can help him retire as a Clipper, go out and win a championship.
Yes.
Go out and win a championship.
Yep.
It don't matter what you do after that. Mm-hmm. You want to retire a Clipper, put up or shut up. That's it.
Yep.
And he has that ability.
And if you need motivation, just go back to the way the Blazers were tweeting about the Clippers when they got eliminated by the Nuggets. I'm saying it's a lovely Twitter journey, just in case you want to.
It's all a part of the game now.
Fired up. Coming up, Anthony Davis spoke very candidly just in the last hour about why he decided on the 5-year deal with the Lakers. You're going to want to hear his reasoning there. And it's crunch time here on The Jump. Here is Bradley Beal today on the fit with his new teammate, Russell Westbrook.
I mean, he's a true point, and I'm a true two, you know, so I would feel like that in itself is, you know, makes us mesh. You know, he loves to pass first. Everybody always has this mindset that Russ is super aggressive, but I love aggression.
I love aggression. There's nothing wrong with that. The Wizards and Rockets meet each other on January 26th and February 15th. Beal also said it has been an emotional week. And he thinks John Wall is going to try to score 60 in both of these head-to-head games. Matt, do you think that Beal and Westbrook are a good fit in the same backcourt?
We'll have to see. Obviously, Russ is best with the ball in his hands, and they've surrounded him with shooters in Washington. You know, they gave Bertan $80 million. They got a center that can step out and shoot the ball. Brad Beal is one of the best two-way players in the game. So we're going to have to wait and see how it meshes. But I know one thing about Russ, he's going to play his heart out, and he's going to raise your level, because you need to match. When your best player is playing as hard as you possibly can, or one of your best players is playing as hard as he can, you have no choice but to raise your level.
I think one of the questions we have to ask is, what makes fit? You know, these two guys are great, but they're both going to get stats. They're going to average 20-plus points. So I guess the question you ask, what makes a great fit? Are they going to win and win a lot of games or not? Because they're both going to have great stats. And I don't know if that, you know, equivalates to great fit either.
But you know what Russ is right now that John Wall can't be just because he's been out for a couple of years? Russ is a known quantity. In fact, he's frankly one of the more known quantities in the league. We know exactly who Russell Westbrook is at this point. We know his strengths and weaknesses. Scotty Brooks coached him in Oklahoma City and now is coaching him here. And so the idea that Bradley Beal... I hate this idea that Bradley Beal and John Wall hated each other. That's it's not true.
No, it's not true.
You cannot mesh with someone and not hate them. I think that Brad was sincere when he said today that it was emotional for him, knowing that that partnership was going to end. But he didn't know what he was going to get with John Wall on the court in the next 6 months, because we've seen guys come back slow from injury. And a guy who I know wants to get going and put his foot on the gas, he's got Russell Westbrook, who likes doing that.
I think Washington might be one piece away to really making, you know, some noise in the West, in the East, excuse me.
Yeah.
In the East.
Yeah, there you go. Much more likely in the East than the West for many reasons. What about the future superstars who were drafted this year? We will see the top two picks in Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman face off on ESPN on January 27th. So, Paul, which rookie matchup are you most excited to watch?
Oh, man. I like the ball kid and this young kid right here, Edwards. You know, obviously the two of the top picks.
Yep.
It's going to be a matchup to see who should have been drafted number one, because I know LaMelo and even Wiseman is going to have something to say about all that.
Yeah.
Like, this draft has been probably the most unpredictable draft in recent memory. You couldn't have went wrong with none of these guys at the top, I don't think.
Yeah, I like the LaMelo Ball and
Edwards
right? matchup as well.
Because
anytime you have two guards, you know they're going to have the ball in the hand.
Yeah.
That's much more likely that it's going to be a fun matchup. Bigs don't really have much of a say. Wings, it just depends on your team. But you know that these guys are going to have the ball in their hands, and it's going to be a nice matchup.
All right. Well, I want to get over to the defending champs, though, guys, because the Lakers extended the contracts of both Anthony Davis and LeBron James this week. And there was some debate over how many years AD should take. Was he going to try to hit that 10-year mark, guys, where you know you can balloon out your salary after that? But he didn't line up his contract to do that. In fact, he committed to a 5-year max, and he explained why today. Take a listen.
I do have a little history with injuries, and you know, a 2-year deal, you kind of bet on yourself. You know, do I get to that? You know, God forbid, knock on wood, something happens, you know, things like that. So, you know, I want to secure the most amount of years possible and be here long term with this team. So I thought the 5-year deal was best for me in my situation.
Paul, secure the bag, baby.
I mean, I got 190 million reasons why I took a long term deal, Anthony Davis. And you won a championship with the franchise. Come on.
There's no better, right now there's no better team to be with than the Lakers, the city, the team, who's on the team. And you understand why Bron would do the 1+1 when he's in a Cleveland, or why Giannis might be dragging his feet into Milwaukee. But this is L.A. This is the Lakers. They got something special here. It's their championship to lose. So why not lock up, you know, for the long term?
I should point out there is a player early termination option in this AD contract. So he kind of has the best of both worlds.
Rebag. He can rebag
So he can rebag in 4 years with, you know.
Can I get a double bag of plastic, please?
With
bigger.
Cheese. Cheese
too. All right, guys, this just in at the buzzer. The NBA and the NBA Players Association have agreed to suspend randomized tests for marijuana during the upcoming season. In reaction to this news yesterday, our own Matt Barnes tweeting,
I'm back.
It's official. I'm coming back.
I started working out last night as soon as I heard this.
you said hats off to Adam Silver. This is a great step,
it's big.
Right?
I mean, and Michelle Roberts as well. I mean, they're listening to their players and understanding that this can be very beneficial. I don't think it's any secret that guys are doing it anyway, so now they can do it with just a peace of mind, not knowing that it's helping them and they're not going to risk, you know, putting their team in harm from being suspended.
Since we've decriminalized marijuana, can we get the people out of jail that's went there for marijuana? And can we get the fine money back, please?
That's another show.
Can we get the fine money back for marijuana?
Show.
Can we get
my fine money back?
That's what I
Matt,
Paul, Brian Windhorst, thanks for joining
support.
Us.